Okay. Mr. Finley, you want to start us with a prayer?
Heavenly Father, we come to you again today, and we are blessed people, God. We thank you for the blessings you pour out upon us, the great weather you've given us, just a wonderful place to live, and most of all, God, your Son that you sent to die upon a cross for us. We pray, God, again, that you would send us wisdom, that you would just help us to know the decisions to make, the things to say, the things to do, the things not to do. That you'd just be involved in each one of those decisions, God. We pray, God, that you would just watch over those that need your helping, healing, and comforting hand, and lift those up to you and know that you know how to meet each and every one of those needs. Thank you again, God, for watching over us. These things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Mrs. Wyatt, you want to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call to order the Taney County Commission meeting Monday, May 7th, 2018, 9:01 a.m. No public comment. Any commission remarks? Approval of accounts payable.
I make a motion to approve accounts payable check number 449671 through 449758. Warrants 6988 through 6992 and 5 journal entries.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Approval of previous meeting minutes for, I have April 30th, 2018.
I make a motion to approve the previous minutes of April 30th, 2018.
I was looking at the...
Okay. The only corrections attached you got this morning is the word to approve.
To approve in, yeah.
She got that on two places.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
See, I think I got it as I was driving over here.
Trans.
I got the email as I was driving over.
Transportation Advisory Board appointment and clarification to previous appointment.
Yeah. And we got a map here with the districts that you need. It also shows what district.
I make a motion from clarification on April 23rd appointment where Randy Hayes was appointed to the Transportation Advisory Board, but the terms in the district were not noted. So I'd like to make the motion that Randy Hayes' appointment is for District 3. His term will be through December 31st, 2021.
Second with discussion.
We have a second with discussion.
So Mr. Moeller's in 3 now, but he actually lives in District 2?
They discovered that, so we...
I know those lines are kind of, they're hard to, on the map, it's hard to know exactly where. So he's in 2. Do we need to move...
So maybe you should make the
other motion
first.
To move him to 2 first and then appoint him to 3? Mm-hmm. So I rescind my second.
I rescind my motion and With that, I would make the motion to move Doug Mueller from District 3 to District 2, and the term will expire December 31st, 2020.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Then, where Rand was appointed to the Transportation, Rand Hayes, Advisory Board, to note the terms in the district that were not noted, I would like to make the motion that Randy Hayes' appointment is for District 3. His term will be through December 31st, 2021.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And then Keith Francis, he's the individual that's taken over for Mr. Miller? Is that an interim or is that a full-time? Do you know? I don't. I'm asking.
I believe it's full-time because...
That's who they recommended
Mr.
on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
In the beginning, I think it was interim.
Okay.
And so they held back on that.
Yeah.
I make the motion to appoint Keith Francis to fill the unexpired term of David Miller in District 6. The term will expire December 31st, 2018.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Agreement for County Tax Sale Publication Services Number.
Commissioner Schofield, can I say one thing?
Sure.
We still have a vacant in District 7. Oh. If we have a map clarifying that district, or if anyone knows of anyone that would be interested in serving the district, they can go on the tannycounty.org website and fill out the application for the appointment. And District 7 is over by Emerald Point, Ozark Paradise Village. Presiding Commissioner Schofield has a map that shows that. Thank you.
Agreement for the County Tax Sale Publication Services, number 18-062. I have a letter dated May 3rd, 2018 from our attorney, Mr. Elliott, and it's the agreement for the county tax sale, Tri-County Newspaper, LLC, and the agreement for the county tax sale buying between Kurt Lewis individually and Tri-County Newspaper, LLC, and Taney County, and he approves the agreement as to form.
Mr. Schofield to sign the agreement between Tri-County Newspapers, LLC, and Kurt Lewis individually in Taney County. File number 18-062-CM.
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
We need to have discussion.
Oh, okay, you want some discussion.
Her motion was to allow you to sign it. It wasn't to necessarily approve it. And I have a question with what came up. Is it even a valid bid if the entity that submitted the bid isn't even a legal entity? So that'd be a question for you, Mr. Erickson.
Question for our attorneys. I mean, the county collector checked on that. The situation has been going on for years, so the attorney to work. I don't see it in the bid law.
So if
for businesses that are currently under some type of litigation,
So it's a entity that doesn't exist that responded to your bid?
They've been responding for years.
But we now know that it's not a legal entity. It hasn't been since 2009, I think, is what we found out.
Our attorney does say, as a result, that he's recommending, and which he did, that he finds no fault with the agreement.
I think you need to have... So what happens whenever, because where are all of our payments supposed to go?
We have documentation telling us that exactly where they're to go.
Where are they supposed to go?
Where are the payments supposed to go? To the parties that's owed.
Okay, so the parties that's owed, on behalf of what party though? Him as an individual or the business? So then my question is, if we submit it to the parties it's owed, which is the government, for taxes, well, so we submit it to them and not to the business, but our agreement's now with Kurt as opposed to the business, can he then sue the county for not paying him? And if we pay him, can the IRS not come after us for not suing or for not paying them whenever we're paying?
This happens whenever you have child support or you have anything.
The government doesn't pay child support. We're not paying child support.
If I get a letter from the government telling me that I'm to make X amount of this percentage.
That's not even accurate. We are a government that led a bid. We put out a bid. And we are awarding a bid to a business that doesn't even exist that we're finding out now. So in order to make what the commission chose as a whole work, I think our attorney put in to try and cover us to still allow us to move forward with that. My question is do we really want to move forward with that as a commission? I voted against it last week, so it's entirely up to you two. I just want to bring those things up to you twofold. One, the motion was to allow you to sign it, not to approve it. And two, do we even want to move forward without having Travis Elliott look into it a little more with all the details?
I thought we approved it last week.
You awarded the bid. You did not approve anything.
I will rescind my... first you need to rescind your second.
Okay, I'll rescind my second.
I rescind my motion as I made it. I make the motion to allow Presiding Commissioner Schofield to sign the agreement and to approve the agreement of the county tax sale between Kurt Lewis individually and Tri-County Newspapers, LLC, doing business as Taney County Times of Ransom, Missouri. My motion is twofold. It's to approve the agreement and to allow Presiding Commissioner Schofield to sign the agreement.
I'll second the motion. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries.
Also note that it's time sensitive.
I understand it's time sensitive. We could have amended the agenda today and taken care of business how it should be done as opposed to how it was done.
The letters have went out to several thousand taxpayers.
I understand that. The problem is I believe that we're... Do I believe that the other entity will actually sue? No. Do I believe that if they were to and we were to lose? Yes. Now, again, I don't believe they're going to or would, but I think we've just been... I think we're open to...
I believe the letter from our attorney...
The attorney, that's a whole other issue. I think you need to talk to our attorney. Go ahead, Ron.
I just want to add one thing for the record. All bid documents have her agenda that require the bidder to sign. His signature verifies that they are a legal business in operation and a current W-9. So I'm just saying, that's how I feel that the bid process is protected. Now, that's not to keep the bidder from fraudulently signing something.
You should be talking in the mic.
Or fraudulent W-9 as far as us presenting bid recommendations.
I understand that.
I feel comfortable that bid document is solid. And if it's not, then they can find that out.
But once it's, but once we find out the information, I think it's our duty to not continue forward with that. So at that point, with the bid recommendation, we have now.
Fill dirt agreement, Mr. Jerry Hanen.
Move to approve the fill dirt agreement by and between Jerry Hanen and Taney County.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Donee authorization. Authorized. They needed that for the surplus property.
Devin, did you want to speak to this at all?
What?
Did you want to speak to this at all? This is the Donee authorization. Who's allowed to have the surplus?
All of the parties on the authorization were voted on approved, but we got flagged by the state that we needed to file a new form giving a complete list of all of the names.
Move to approve the Donee authorization as presented.
Second for discussion.
We have a second for discussion.
Are you then giving the presiding commissioner authority to sign that?
Yes. We have never, other than any time there's an agreement or an authorization, he's always had the ability to sign it because that's what actually enforces it. There's other times whenever all three commissioners have to sign it, but typically it's just his signature. If it's something that you want to change in policy or how we've done things, then we can bring that up during daily staff review. And
I don't care to change the policy. I just noticed that in motions in the past that we always
Very rarely do we make a motion where we have allowed him to sign something other than it's something to do with real estate or something that's not an actual agreement.
No problem. I second the motion.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Agreement for guardrails number 18063, Roden Bridge. I have a letter dated May 3rd, 2018 from our attorney, Mr. Elliott. The agreement for guardrail and highway safety solutions. He's reviewed the agreement for guardrail by and between highway safety solutions and Taney County, and he approves the agreement to form.
Move to approve the agreement by and between highway safety solutions and Taney County.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Jason Parker, Murphy Tractor, Bidding Equipment and MoDOT Contracts.
Yes.
Come on up to the...
right here.
Yep.
I know you all know me, if you remember.
Yep.
It's been a little while, but yep. Jason with Murphy Tractor, Springfield. This was just a kind of a quick FYI on some of the different ways we've been selling equipment to the government, counties for the most part, some cities. We do a lot with Missouri Conservation and MoDOT in Missouri. We have 27 dealerships in five states. Every state is completely different how we sell. Even different parts of the state. Kansas City is so different than what we do locally. One of the things that's been really successful for us local is the MoDOT bid. We tag onto it very often. So you all bid equipment, we will tag onto that bid either way. It's a multiple award, so you can pick out what you want and say, hey, give me this backhoe, it's been bid. I want the John Deere or whatever it may be. There's several out there like that. There's one you all have been using that it's a bid that we see. The only place we've seen it in 27 locations is here and in the city of Springfield. It's not a multiple award. I know it works. I don't know how, but it does evidently work, but it does not have anything but Caterpillar. And I think it's City of Tucson. It's called the NIPA. I think you would see with the MoDOT bid, well, the one you'd see everyone else's number, and at least on the John Deere side, we see the best pricing from there. I think you could buy the same thing you've been getting and save some money, possibly. It's another one we use along with MoDOT. Say there's Greene County just bought a large wheel loader from us. MoDOT doesn't go that up that large, so we go to one called NJPA. You all probably use that for something. It seems like most organizations I deal with have used it for tires or trucks or something. You may not, but it's a very easy thing to sign up for, just a matter of minutes, and it's a similar version. You can pick out what you want, whatever, if it's us, Caterpillar, Case, whoever, for the most part, the vendors that are in this business, you can pick what you like off of that one as well. Those are two contracts as a dealer we're really comfortable with and have seen some of the best pricing come in. We just wanted to, I know you all are starting to update some stuff. We've bid some, been successful, we've lost some too. This is just another avenue that we see getting utilized all over. We're up to over 20 grader sales just till date this year in Springfield. And there's a reason for it. It's the number one selling grader around here with the highest resale. We've got some new options out that you guys have never seen that we'd love to show you. If I know you have a grader coming, if it's, I think it's probably too late, but we'd love to show you ours if we could, or at least price it. We have not done either one, but it may be too late for that, and I know you got a lot more stuff to replace over the years. We're not going anywhere, so we'll try for that as well. But the past four machines that you all have or something that you've bought, that's something we are real strong in, those particular machines. I think we do well. Some of them we're the number one in the market on, and I think there's a reason. It's not only the performance, sometimes it's price, which I never get to say, selling John Deere, except to on the governmental side. I'm never the low price leader. But sometimes on a governmental I am, so I have to, that's something we want to be good at. You guys are a huge part of our business. Governmental's probably more than half, and Taney County with Murphy Tractors, like family does, we want to continue and try to work with you however we can and demo, and if there's anything we can do to show you some of our new stuff, we'd be glad to if it's a go somewhere and see it or bring it to you all, whatever that might be. But I just want to let you know we have lots of, that's what we're seeing in the governmental side now are bids that are already existing that get utilized. And it's great if you're on the right side of it, but if you're not, then you got to do some work, which is where we are here. We want to try to work with you all if we can.
Whenever you brought up the, did you say NJPA?
Yeah.
I think our purchasing was shaking his head, so.
Okay. We did,
yes.
Okay.
We have NJPA. That's NIPA, the National Intergovernmental Purchasing Alliance, is the one that we've used most recently. But NJPA is my personal favorite.
Is it?
It's easier to get the contract information.
Well, it is. I like that. And it's kind of a funny scenario. We're not So MoDOT, we've become the, we've had to learn how to use it because their site, to be honest, is very confusing. It's in two different places now.
Yeah, MoDOT's not as easy.
It's not, but... And the bad part about it is it's where, as Murphy Tractor, we put all of our, we get our biggest discounts there because we put every bid on that to get the highest discount. So John Deere every year gives us the highest discount. So kind of, in a sense, all of our eggs are in the MoDOT
basket
to a certain degree. And it's a, we just, the more you use a certain bid, the higher discounts you get. So if we are, if someone's asking us to tag onto it or not, we use it just to, because we get the best price. If it's a sealed bid or a tag on, we still use the same one because, you know, we want to be competitive either way.
We all need to stay on that state bid too, because that, yeah, that covers us for all of the equipment. We buy a lot of parts.
Yeah.
Way over the bid every month.
Mr. Erickson, you want to come up to the mic? I can't hear.
Well, that's kind of what I wanted. No, I was just telling Jason, and probably Jason, I'll give it.
Nice. Very good. Yeah. You too.
I was just telling them that we appreciate that they're on the state bid because we use that as an umbrella to cover us on having to go out for bid when we need parts. And quite often those parts are in emergency needs. So because they're on the state bid, we don't have to worry about going over the bid limit within a 90-day period. And we do almost regularly every quarter. I mean, we spend a ton of money with Murphy Tractor.
Mm-hmm.
And Road and Bridge can confirm that. But we appreciate that they do participate in all of these cooperative options. That's all I
think. Okay.
Yeah, it's a and it, with our size, we can act fast on bids. I mean, if you get like your excavator that broke at the transfer, I have those on hand in Springfield. That's the most popular machine we make. We can turn that in a heartbeat. So I just wanted you to know we're up on that, any of those bids, or we feel like it, and the majority of them. But I just want to let you know we're ready to work with that stuff and feel real comfortable with it. That's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Range discussion.
Good morning.
Hmm?
Good morning.
How are you?
Okay. I think this started out as just kind of wanting to discuss a few of the policies and how we can make sure that it works for everybody, because I know sewer goes down there, and I know at the time I didn't know that other entities, law enforcement entities, were using it. So we just kind of been discussing, I think you and I and maybe even Wilson and I have talked a little bit about maybe some intergovernmental agreements, just to make sure there's no issues in the future if something, God forbid, does happen. We know who is there, who's responsible, protect right. The county, protect whoever's out there. Anyways, at the same time, we've been getting some phone calls, and we get them every year regarding the range. So I know some of them wanted to come and speak to us. I also just kind of said, hey, just FYI, if you just show up, we're not allowed to respond. I think that might have frustrated them more than actually helped the situation. So I don't want everybody to get frustrated and not, anyways. So I thought it'd be good just to discuss it in general and allow some of the public, I think there's some of them here. That way we can all kind of have a better understanding of what we do there, mm-hmm. why we do it there, and then also maybe, I know you guys have already fixed a few of the issues that I don't even know that you guys knew was going on, as far as individuals using it for personal use as opposed for county business. So I think those things have been fixed, but we probably just need to make sure that we relay that to the public. And
right.
Because it does, I live out by the academy, and even then it's like, man, do I really want to go out on my four-wheeler and take the kid? And I'm quite a ways away from the academy. But still kind of makes in the back of your mind, do I really want my kids out here? Do I really? So that way they can kind of have a better understanding of how it is safe and what we can do to make it. Anyways, so I don't know how you guys want to.
Well, of course, our range, it's been there for at least 20 years that it's been in that location. It is set up with berms approximately 20 to 25 feet dirt berms, feet high, completely surrounding us in any of our shooting areas. We did have an incident here a while back, and at that point, one of the agencies using it had a round get over the top of a berm, which they was doing exercises that really shouldn't be done there. They should realize that it's not a safe manner to do those exercises, so that's all been put to the stop too, that they make sure they shoot within the berms. And at that point, we was shooting some to the west, some to the north. Since that incident occurred, we're shooting strictly to the north. There's no homes in the direction of where we're shooting for at least a mile. Acacia Club is the closest homes to the north from where we're shooting off of 165. We do have other entities that are using the range have throughout the years. And that was done even before I was in office. So we qualify twice a year with the department down there, spring and fall. Then the team shoots out there whenever they do training. They're at the time they're shooting out there. The other agencies, I'm not real sure on
how many. Almost all of them. Branson PD, Hollister PD, and probation and parole, almost all of them qualify in April and October, which is whenever we do. So April and October, that's going to be the busy months out there. Aside from that, it's just probably pretty sporadic here and there.
Sheriff Russell, is a gun being used to fire that's live ammo, correct?
Yes.
Is it possible for one to go over the berm that the guns they're using, that it could hit a house in that direction? Now, I know we did have it before, but you've stopped that.
Right.
Is it possible in the direction that they're shooting?
Is it possible? Mm-hmm. 9mm rounds.
It
won't go that far.
5.56 is possible, or yeah, 308, which
rifle round possibly could. If you shot it up over the berm, but there's not hardly anywhere in Taney County that, if you do that, that you couldn't reach a house.
Is it possible to do something on the berm that can be at a higher level that could prevent that?
We could always build the berms up higher. You could always shoot over them unless you cover it.
Covering that's about the only way.
I mean, you could put a steel cover over it, steel roofing over the entire thing to where you couldn't shoot out, but I mean, that's not practical. It's if you've got adequate backstops, and like I said, we've got 20, 25 foot tall berms back there. There should never be a round get out of it. But like I said, the one round that did get out, that we're aware of, it was done where they were shooting in a situation, in a position that they should not have been shooting in.
Which goes back to the intergovernmental agreements.
Right.
That was kind of what started the whole concern, because I think I was out of town whenever I got the phone call about that incident.
Yeah. But basically what they had a target in front of the berm, and they was laying on the ground in front of the target, shooting up at the target. Shouldn't have been done that way.
Then whenever anyone shoots out there, do they have a supervisor or someone else? It's not one lone person, so there's...
They'll have range instructors.
That's our current policy, is there has to be a firearms instructor there with them. We changed the locks. Only the firearms instructors have keys to the locks. Other agencies aren't given keys. If another agency is scheduled to use the range, we have to go let them in. And even our guys can't go out there to train or practice without an instructor there now.
The which segue into another issue, or not issue, but another thought. I don't know if it's been talked to you guys. I haven't talked to you guys about it. Talked to Brad Albritton with sewer, and because they need that entrance and that road to go through there, and there's with locks and keys, and we've talked about them putting in a gate of sorts, or there's already gates there, but putting in some sort of electronic keypad. That way we know who's in there, who has that code, when the, like, if they're only needing it for April, then their code is only active for the time that they're there to qualify. Other than that, unless they need to be there for whatever reason, the other entities aren't there. It just gives us better control and a better idea of who is there and why they're there, and then it just holds them accountable. So we've talked about that, and he's been willing to do that, because they then know that they need, and I can't remember if their lock was cut or another lock was on and they couldn't get in, so they had to cut it or whatever the issue was. But whenever they need to get in there, they need to be able to get in there to
Some people have not put the locks back properly where they're interlocking in the locks. They'll bypass that and just lock the chain.
Right.
And then nobody but them can get in. So that's just...
And the problem is there's four different locks on there. Right now there's five because sewer has two for some reason, but we've got our lock. Road and Bridge has a lock because they need to get in there. The power company's got a lock, and then sewer's got two locks. So
I think it just makes sense to have something to where we can, A, know who's in there, and then we can also limit control or limit access.
Now, there may be times throughout the year that you have to go out there and qualify somebody. If we have a new hire or something, we have to take them out and qualify them before we put them on the road and stuff like that. So it's not exclusively those months, but...
But as far as
everybody going out and qualifying, you know, we all just got through.
Whenever the cities are out there, the other entities, does one of our qualified instructors, whatever, have to be there, or just one of theirs?
One of theirs.
Okay.
Then if we have an agreement, when they're there, are they liable for anything that happens? Do we have any type of agreement? Is that what we're
doing? Do we have agreements? No, we do not.
That's what Brandon said.
But they did assume the liability before, didn't they?
Yes.
So if we have agreement that anything that happens when they're there, then they would be liable for it. Is that what you would propose?
Whatever the attorneys think we need to have, we can put in place. That's not no problem with that. And I'm sure it should be in place.
Do you have a list of the entities that are using, I mean, the other departments that are using that, or is it just...
We can make you a list up.
Yeah. Is anybody other than what you just said?
No, as far as just the three. Okay. Aside from our department, it's Hollister PD, Branson PD, and then...
Probation
and parole. Corrections come down and qualify probation and parole.
So there's no Rockaway or Merriam Woods or Forsyth PDs in there?
Well, Sheriff Russell, then you get with our commission's attorney and explain the situation and to work up an agreement, giving the parties involved.
Probably have Nikki start the process, and Nikki can get with you. Is there any questions that we have? I mean, anything you guys, I know, again, over the years we've gotten... And you have too, and you've responded to complaints, or not complaints, concerns more than anything. So,
yeah.
Is there anything that you guys would like to ask, say, comment? Is there anything that's not been resolved? Is there anything that you guys want to, when I say you guys, I mean any member of the public?
Come up to the mic and.
Well, I'm Sherry Stevens, and I've got three of us here. One of the ladies, her property, butts up right against y'all's property. And I'm the newest of the three neighbors. We are the three closest to the property. And I bought the property in 92, so it was before the firing range was there.
Okay, thank you. And I guess my question is, in the past, when I've talked to you, Sheriff, you've told me, no, they're only going certain times, and they're only there with a qualified instructor. But we live there. We know what's going on the road. And what's going back. And we see the guys on their lunch hour or for an hour just buzz in there. We hear them shooting for a while, and then we see them leave. And there's nobody else back in there.
And like one of the commissioners said there a while ago, there had been people from the county going in there shooting that we wasn't aware of.
Well, you should have been aware, because we've been calling you and telling you that this has been going on, and I just get told, no, it's a neighbor. And we know who it is. We see the vehicles.
Okay. We wasn't aware that individuals with the other agencies within the county was using it. It wasn't our people. It wasn't
well,
law enforcement.
Well, it's
people.
Branson. It's Hollister. It's the ones you've described. But they're going during their lunch hour and just shooting off their guns for fun. And
well, I don't think they're going out there during the lunch hour, because it's outside of their jurisdiction. A lot of times they'll contact me and schedule, say, hey, we've got a new guy. We have to run him out there and run him through a qual, which might take an hour. They're just going out there, doing what they need to do, and leaving it. They're not out there with several,
shouldn't be. And right. It shouldn't be. Now,
they shouldn't have key to it.
Yeah, anybody well, can't get in there. Like one of us goes and lets them in.
And I guess that goes back to some of the concerns and trying to come up with solutions for them is the keypad. Then we'll know who's in there. I know that I've been in animal control before, visiting there for whatever reason, and then there's been individuals that were not active or not on time or not working, but they were there with their family members sighting in a rifle. So now, but that's all. And I know those have been concerns that we've let you guys know about, and from what I understand, they have, and it's been recent. So,
that's my question, because literally, this has been. Y'all have been fairly good neighbors. We've all known, even though nobody got to vote on this went into our neighborhood, and we were there first. You've been fairly good neighbors. I recognize that you have to do some qualifying, and so usually we know it's going to be in October and April. But this last year and a half to 2 years has changed into a totally different entity. We have had somebody out there shooting almost every day that it's been nice since January. This isn't just now. April has been awful. 2 weeks ago, it was like we were under siege. Branson was there for a whole week long, all day long, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. This last Saturday, we had somebody out there at 8:15.
Yeah, last Saturday, we was out there.
Okay. The Friday, Hollister was out there all day. So the amount of people that are using it now has just quadrupled, or probably a lot more than that. It's going on all the time. We're used to it just be sporadic every once in a while, to the point that we're talking semi-automatic rounds, and the way sound travels in these hollers, it sounds like they're shooting at our house. And I'm in the opposite direction of what they're shooting. And they both are in the opposite direction of what you're shooting, but you just can't even be outside. It's like you're in a third world country when you watch the evening news and what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like at our house. And
so we need to do weekends?
Yes, are weekends necessary? Because... Well, we can't even have any quiet on the weekends.
Saturday was necessary because the guys that qualified Saturday were our court security guys, and they work Monday through Friday, and they're required to be there. If we're short one or two, then we don't have the manpower to cover the courts. So Saturday, that's about the only day that they can get out there.
Can there be some controls on when people can come out there? Because this every day of the week, we've even had some out on Sundays.
There shouldn't be any.
And holidays, yes.
Actually, I'm sorry, but I called or texted Brandon.
Both. It was Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving Day. And
one Thanksgiving Day, and it was going on all day long. And I've lived back there since 95.
That should be.
Just for the record, how long did you say it's been there? Like 20 years? I was 17, so I didn't have anything to do.
I didn't have anything put it there.
I'm teasing. I'm teasing. Okay.
But the past doesn't take care of the present. We have to. I'm concerned that when you say you call and with what, when the citizen, when she calls and says it's happening and we're saying there's no one there, it shouldn't be happening. Do we send someone out then to check
see? We didn't get called right then, I don't believe. No. This is just...
Afterwards?
Yeah.
Well, one of the times I called because it was going on and I held up the phone so he could hear that, this is coming from your range right now.
Well, and...
And I mean, I don't know that he can absolutely respond every time. He's got a job to do. I'm not saying that. But it's just... I mean, it's like, come on, I've got great neighbors except y'all.
We don't...
She talked to you then?
No,
I spoke to you.
The dispatcher called me.
Well, and I think mainly we just need to look forward to how we can be better neighbors. I think that's the concern. I don't think we need to hash out who called and why they didn't respond. And I know Dever's been frustrated with me for probably not responding in time. I mean, so we're all at fault when it comes to... but there needs to be understanding. And again, I've talked with you, Ms. Stevens, about...
And we've had times that, like one time it was 9:45 at night that they were doing it. And I called, and the dispatch lady got a little lippy with me and saying, well, by law, they don't have to be quiet till 11. I was like, well, okay. But I will say that Sheriff Russell called me the next day when he came into his office, and he apologized for what was said to me, because he said, that's not being a good neighbor. We should have never said that. It should have never been said, you know. And he apologized and explained the situation and promised me that he was going to do his best to not let that happen again that late at night. But so I'm not want to sit here and dog any departments. I just want y'all to be good neighbors. Unless, can we figure out something that you can be good neighbors instead of what we've got now?
What we can do. Well, I think
what is the time?
8 o'clock.
8 p.m.
On Saturdays, it looks like in a neighborhood that, like, we have restrictions on construction when they're building in a residential neighborhood.
We don't.
Pardon?
We don't.
Planning and zoning.
Okay, planning and zoning. But we don't have any
zoning. Ordinances. They have restrictions.
I don't know that they can have. I don't know. I know we had one, and then we got rid of. There was a noise ordinance.
They said we had one that they decided was not.
Right, and the noise ordinance was a bit restrictive on even a homeowner going out and working on a chicken coop, if you will. Yeah. Which the last couple of weeks, I kind of wish there was a noise ordinance on chicken coop building. But.
Is there not going on to be a good neighbor? Is there not, like, on a Saturday that you could have where you say, we don't make the prescription, it's your department, that in the agreement that they can not start before a certain time on Saturday if it's necessary for them to qualify on that? Like on Saturday, a lot of people do.
I think what she's asking is if there's another entity out there qualifying, make it start at 10 o'clock and they have to be done by noon or what. I think that's what she didn't have that in the agreement.
And of course, two hour you couldn't do it. But
Or one Saturday a month that right. You only allow it. Not every weekend.
Yeah, we can work on that with them.
Does any other entity need to be using it on weekends other than us?
I don't know if we have.
I don't think any of them are.
Okay. And with us, it should just be a rare occasion?
Yes.
Once every spring and once every fall.
Yeah.
Is it unusual to go out on a Sunday? And
We have not done any Sundays.
So you would not have any Sundays?
No.
And then the holiday. This was a few years ago. I don't know if it's happened holidays since.
We've not done any holidays.
Well, there for a while, all kinds of people had keys. We would give one to Hollister PD, and Branson PD had one, and then they would make copies, and then every one of their officers would have one.
We know.
And just like Brandon said, you might show up out there, and there would be somebody from a different agency out there with your family.
Sighting in their guns. Every fall, we knew.
There were sewer department people that was going out sighting in rifles for deer season.
I will just say, I mean, I've been back there for more than 20 years, and it has gotten better because it would be literally all day, every day. And I worked from home for a few years. I don't know which is worse, it being on a Saturday when I should be relaxing or when I'm trying to work and talk and have conference calls and I hear gunfire in the back. It is, you're right. Sometimes I feel like I live in East St. Louis.
Well, it's gotten worse this year as far as on a daily basis, every day.
We've talked about wanting to maybe sell our home, but we know if people come out and look at our home and they hear that going on, it's not going to happen. But what I'm curious about is why is it, and it's been there for 20 years, like you said, I don't really remember it all that much until the last few years, but this is my
husband. I was
Just so you know, you don't have to ask her. You just have to ask him. Now, that's... Hey, that's Justin here, though. As soon as you walk out, you have to listen to her again.
I haven't been... We just got married last year, so I've only been in that neighborhood
one year on
for, what, 3 years, maybe. So it's under my understanding was that it used to be sewer property, that they were going to put a facility there. They didn't go through with the facility, and the range was a temporary thing because the county had the property available. Was that the kind of the way it came about? I was thinking it was temporary.
Could be. I don't know.
So is it still considered temporary, and maybe someday we'll go... It's, you know, like shotgun days. I can't be outside because it's just the shotgun days are.
We don't shoot shotguns. We don't have shotguns.
Well,
does the other entities? Do you know?
I don't know.
And how do you qualify? And I'm asking. I'm not trying to be smart. With a shotgun, do you really have to qualify? I mean, there's no qualification with a shotgun because it's
there. Yeah, if you've got shotguns, there is.
But really? I don't think the sheriff department uses shotgun anymore. Do you?
You're probably
hearing this is the rifle. When we shoot rifles.
And semi-automatics.
I've heard fully automatics coming from.
Well, I don't know the difference, but it could be.
That's probably one of your people that should have been there shooting fully automatics.
No, there could be agencies with fully automatics shooting.
But for us, I mean, we're in that area where it could be the house that got the wizard was just down the street from us, but for us, it's just the noise. I'm a musician, so I work till 10 at night and then sleep in the morning. So, Mike, I'm just curious, if we'll stay there. I'm assuming there's no steps being taken to find another area,
better location,
another spot, move the range.
Has there been any discussion of it? No, there's not been any discussion. With this commission, no, there's not any discussion of it. Doesn't mean it's out of the question. My first inclination is where? That's not going to cost a fortune.
Right. I understand.
That may not be the answer you like, but that's just... because they do have to...
When there are no leaves on the trees and we get into higher calibers, it's probably...
Do we have to do it in April? Can you do it in May? I mean, I don't know what the guidelines are as far as your qualifications.
We can do it whenever.
We just have to do it twice a year.
So that may be something that we look at as far as waiting until there's more leaves on the more foliage.
We have to do one low light qualification. Typically on that day we start at noon and shoot to 8 at night.
Okay.
And that way when we schedule it, that's one reason it's scheduled in April, because we try to schedule early enough for the time change. You know, it's getting dark at 6 o'clock or whatever. That way we can get it in. Have a couple hours to shoot before it gets too late to shoot, or if we wait till up in the summer, later spring, when it's not getting dark to 7:30 or 8, and can't make it work.
That might be something we look at. I mean, is that what I mean? Am I hearing from you right as far as if there's more foliage, it'd be...
Well, then that's worst case. I mean, if it's in the winter, trees bear it, that's...
Well, yeah, we don't want to do it in December or January.
Yeah.
I think the night that you got the rant from me via email was the night that it was 9:45. And
okay.
I'm thinking we don't have kids, but people who have kids can't put their kids to bed because of listening to gunfire.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know who that was.
You're so like frustrated that
we support it. I totally support the training, but it's just annoying stuff.
We'll make sure and get with the other agencies and make sure that they know the times to quit. They've got to stop.
And I don't know what you can do, if there's anything you can do as far as sound buffering. I know years ago when they wanted to put the racetrack out in that general area, it got stopped because they couldn't prove how that sound was going to go through those hollers.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it literally, I've been up at animal control because I went up there that Friday that Monday when it was, Branson was there all week long. Shooting semi-automatics or full automatics, whatever they were shooting, and it was every bit as loud in my backyard as it was standing right next to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one reason why we've got the berms completely around us also in Sultal is for sound buffering. That's, you know, if we didn't have those, it'd even be worse. But
it was mentioned that possibly to raise the height of those berms, is there any way to kind of lift that a little bit more?
To what height?
You're saying they're 20 foot tall?
They're 20, 25 foot tall.
I've been down that area a couple of times before, that would control it. They definitely don't appear to be that
not on tall. The not on the south side of them, they're not that as far as where you guys have your back to, where all the sound is coming from us.
If you look at them, they're fairly tall.
Down where we shoot at now. Right now we're only shooting in the
where Branson was standing, the berm standing behind the guys was this tall. Where they were standing shooting.
It's way down. It drops off downhill. It gets deeper as it goes down. But
I'm saying where they were shooting, because I saw them, and I said, are you guys going to be done soon? And they said, we're sorry. And I said, well, yeah, but you don't live here. Just tired of sorry.
You're welcome to come down there, and we'll show you where we shoot.
Well, I'm just telling you, I saw the guys standing there. Unless they're 20 feet tall.
Make sure that they're
What she's talking about is not necessarily what they're shooting into, but what they're talking about is
where they're standing shooting the gun.
What's behind them? Because is there a berm behind them? Mm-hmm. And how tall is that berm?
It's the same as this.
Same as the others? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, maybe not where the pistol, where that little... Well, now, that might
Branson
be different.
Could possibly be shooting, because, you know, I don't know that we went out there with him and said you can only shoot this area.
Okay.
He said you can only shoot to the north.
But you didn't say where from, up. From
so
the north.
It could have been over by the road that goes down to the sewer plant, shooting into that other berm, which...
As opposed to down in the bowl,
the
if you
bowl
will.
Where okay. we shoot, yes.
And I do know, just so you guys know, I know that they've asked, because... Huff, didn't you and I go out there to look at some questions that Mr. Daniels had as far as...
Yeah.
And so I do know that Mr. Daniels has actively looked at raising those. And I think it was for the purpose of being able to make it a little safer on that one area, shooting towards your guys, shooting towards you guys.
We have other issues also. Since we've moved down into that lower area, we can only shoot about 30 yards. You know, since we're just shooting to the north, we can only shoot about 30 yards. And with a rifle, that's not really practical. There's some schools in our county that have hallways that are longer than 30 yards. We might have to, you know, we need to train. Pretty much the standard with a rifle is to shoot at 100 yards. So that's one reason we're looking at maybe changing the layout of the range where we can shoot due north 100 yards, but we'd have to move some berms around. In order to do that.
So I do know it's been discussed, I guess is what I'm getting at. I don't know where we came up, where we ended up with that. But
We will make sure all the instructors with all the agencies know that mobile is the only place they're to be shooting.
Now, whenever they do shoot closer to the, in between the bowl and the animal control, there's a little area, and that's where you guys don't use live rounds.
We don't use live rounds.
And it's a, you know, when it...
It's ammunition. It actually fires basically a plastic bullet with a detergent in it, and we actually shoot them at each other. That's what it's made for. But we have a little tarp building set up there with targets, and we shoot up in that direction, but it won't penetrate a car, it won't penetrate a house.
Is it ever been as noisy, though? Because that could be what they were shooting, because I was standing in animal control, and they were just on the other side of that dirt work right there. And the guy standing there, the berm behind them, was this tall. Now, unless they're 20 feet tall, those gentlemen...
If they was up close to animal control there, they shouldn't have been shooting at live.
And that's why I was saying if you did see them up animal control shooting...
It was blasting like crazy.
It was what you guys were using.
Not as loud. They're probably a half. They still have the primer, but they don't have the powder charge that live round has. So it's about half as loud.
And I asked them, hey, why can't we use those? And then I guess you technically can't qualify with the ammunition. You have to use live ammo. So during their... And that's per federal law,
we have to qualify with what we actually carry.
Yeah. So just so you guys know, we've tried to cover all the bases with each other, and there's reasons as to why. You know, you had brought up taxpayers' dollars. There's actually certain grants and certain funds that can only be used to buy ammunition. I don't know, as far as actual general county revenue, I don't think any of that goes towards buying ammunition, or very little of it does.
We have some.
But it usually comes out of your funds that you get from criminals. And so just to answer some of those questions, there's not it's not like we're just out there. Now, that's the county. I don't know about the municipalities, but as far as with the county, we're just out there just blowing stuff up. And
yeah, there's some munitions rounds that we have switched a lot of our training to. It costs about twice as much per round for us to use, but we're doing it so there's not noise issues. There's not issues with rounds getting out of the barn. We can shoot basically in 350 degrees. And it's a lot more realistic as far as our training aspect, but it is a lot more expensive.
And we don't like shooting each other live rounds.
That's called injured by friendly fire.
Yeah.
You said you're having a problem with the gates and stuff. Is there any way that y'all could control some type of closed circuit TV you see and use back there? Really abusing these ranges and stuff when y'all are not out there?
We can look at, I mean, probably not a closed circuit TV, but I mean, we can look at different options on that as far as, you know, have the people with animal control, if they're there, you know, they see somebody that's not law enforcement to call us and things like that.
It kind of sounds like maybe what y'all are trying to do right, maybe some other municipalities and stuff that are out there abusing what the county has set up. I don't know if animal control is going to part of the TVs on there. Buildings or not, maybe they could switch cameras around where maybe dispatch or something could kind of
be
light and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know that we couldn't, we can't view theirs through dispatch. But
well, with today's technology, it'd be something other than, it'd probably be some sort of Ethernet camera, internet camera that IT could probably put out there, but and it still goes back to just I think we need to control the gate.
Yeah,
and have better knowledge of who's
gate is going to be the key to it, and we'll make sure we'll try to set up a better schedule with these other agencies to where they're not coming out there all the time, just here or there.
And it may be a combination of the two. Maybe put a camera on the gate. It's not hard to do, and it's not that expensive.
Yeah. I live on Fairlawn. In my bedroom window is actually facing east. And I swear sometimes the glass of my window is vibrating.
You all are only about a quarter of a mile from the range across country there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
sometimes.
And of course, you guys behind it to the south there are closer.
And it really, especially at nighttime, it really gets loud. Because I have air conditioner, triple wide windows, and I have to get up at 4 in the morning. So I usually go to bed about 8 or 9. And at that time, it is just. And I know you'll say it's small, but somebody's back here using some large caliber.
Oh, and at times we shoot rifles back there too. Yeah. We haven't here lately since the incident in your area. We've not used the rifle area.
The other day it sounded like a cannon going off.
I think that was out top of the rock, wasn't it?
No, we don't have cannons.
We were wondering.
And maybe it's time we have some discussion about the possibility of moving it. That may be something we need to look into as well, see if there's any place that we've got an option to.
Yeah, this was temporary. We've had our temporary fill.
I can't answer if it was temporary or not.
Yeah,
I don't know what
the. It was temporary too, but I don't know.
I don't know on that.
Sheriff Russell, what's the shooting range up on 65?
Those are shooters.
Mm-hmm. Is that a possibility?
Back years ago, we qualified up there. I mean, there'll be an expense to it. I don't know what all they've got. Do they have rifle?
No.
I don't think they have rifle up there.
They shoot primarily shotgun stuff.
Yeah.
After that, they used to range out on JJ Highway, and it's a private range, and they won't let anybody in there. Even our snipers, just two guys trying to get permission to go in there and qualify, because they have to qualify at 100 yards, and wouldn't allow that.
Well, it appears the gates that's been discussed, and if you enter an agreement mm-hmm. with those parties that are going to use it, and if it be a code or whatever is worked out on the gates, in that agreement, it's designated the restrictions for them using it, the times and right. so forth. It looks like that would be a big step forward.
Right.
Evaluate it.
We will sit down and come up with the rules and regulations for it and bring it back to you before we send it to the attorney. Have you look at it and see if there's anything further that we need to do with it. And if we can get your guys' information that's here, maybe you all can be kind of representatives of the community out there, and we'll sit down with you before we send it to the attorney and see if those rules and regulations are the time, mainly the times and stuff, is something that would be suitable to you all. That'd be okay?
Sounds good. Good idea.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Court orders.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning I've got two personal property paid abatements, otherwise known as refunds on personal property. It's abatement number 300-246 and 300-247. And they're both the same, just different years. One's 2015, one's 2016. And what it was is the taxes was paid on a separate account, and they just now seen that it had been being paid on two accounts for the same vehicles.
So it was already paid on another account?
Yes, sir.
Label Exhibit A. Move to approve Exhibit A, dated May 7th, 2018.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
That's all I have for today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Let's see. We'll be in recess. We're scheduled for upstairs for executive session per 610.021.3 personnel.